Today I want to talk about fighting something else, something we all deal with, and that's doubt. Who in here is ever struggling with doubt? I think some of us are struggling with doubt right now, right? Doubting a positive outcome to a negative situation. That's universal, right? A negative financial situation or a negative health situation or marital relationship situation. Maybe it's a job situation. And you know that what you're looking for, what you're needing, is not being realized. And you wonder if it ever will because, well, there's been times in the past where it didn't work out for you. And so we kind of have this built-in preparation. We start thinking, well, maybe it won't ever get better. I doubt whether my situation will get better. Or you doubt your faith in some way. I talk to people on a regular basis that they have doubts with their faith. Am I really saved? Is God really real? Is the Bible really true? And it doesn't become challenging until there's something that happens that doesn't meet your expectations, and it's a setup for the possibility of a thought that, well, maybe it's not true. Right? The Word says this, but my reality is this, and I'm just wondering. You see how doubt just kind of slips in when we're experiencing something negative. Or maybe you're doubting God in some area because He hasn't done or didn't do what you expected or needed Him to do. Am I just preaching to myself? Is this the right crowd? Y'all want to hear more? Okay. Well, today I'm going to talk about that elephant in the room, because it's in the room of most churches. Because almost everybody, if not everybody, deals with doubt, but nobody wants to talk about it because doubt has been given a bad rap of, well, it's going to show you don't have any faith. It's a sign of spiritual weakness if you start talking about what you doubt, right? And remember, you know, the verse says that as long as you doubt, God's not going to answer your prayers. So stop doubting. I don't disagree with that, but I still got doubts. And so how do I deal with my doubts? Today I want to talk about two things: why we have doubt, where it comes from, and then how do we deal with doubt so we can get through it, over it, and not stay stuck in it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts today about Your truth for this problem, and that You would encourage us today, that we would see from Your Scriptures that we're not the only ones that struggle with doubt. Men of old, women of old have always dealt with doubt. Because we live in a fallen world, there's always going to be doubts that kind of bombard our head and bombard our faith. And there's a spiritual enemy that's out to use doubt against us to get us to doubt You or doubt people that really we need to trust. And even though we don't see all the circumstances, all the situations, we don't know all the details, sometimes doubt can get in the room, can get up in our head and really mess with us. And I pray that today You would speak to us about what do we do when we struggle with doubt. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. And then we're going to fast forward to Matthew 28. We're going to hang out in the book of Matthew. We're going to take a glimpse at John, but we'll get there in a minute. I want to share a few truths about doubt before I go to God's Word. Truths that I think we could all agree with. The first one is this: every human being has and will deal with doubt. And everybody said, yeah, we've all dealt with doubt, and we will deal with doubt. Maybe some of you are dealing with it right now, and boy, you said, I needed to hear this today. Or something will happen in the future, maybe before the year's out, maybe next year. And doubt's going to enter in, and hopefully you'll remember that we talked about this, and you'll go find these notes and bring it back up when the time's appropriate. It's not a matter of if, but when. And when we get doubts, what do we do with them? I think that's really important. So first I want to talk about why we get doubts, why we have doubts, where do doubts come from? Doubts come when we don't understand something about something we think we should understand. Or when we see or hear, what we see or hear doesn't line up with what we believe or what we've experienced. And then it causes us to start asking questions or entertaining thoughts about why that is. You know, anytime somebody asks the why question, why did God not dot, dot, dot? It's an open door for doubt. It happens when I call what I would call the gap between our expectations and our experiences, right? So let's say that the need is for healing, and so I expect God, because His Word says He's a healer and that He heals, and so when I pray and ask God for healing, I expect healing. But when I don't get it, or when I haven't got it yet, my experience is beneath that. Now, this works in both ways. I don't think I need to do a message on how to celebrate when your experiences exceed your expectations. Because that's positive. That's in the positive. And we hope, man, I wish every day could be that way. Guess what? It won't be. And so when those times happen, rejoice, celebrate as long as you can. Because somewhere in the future, there's going to be the reverse of that, where your experiences don't match your expectations. Disappointment. We become disheartened. We become discontent, disappointed, depressed, all the D words. One H word, hopeless. And so that's where doubt comes in. It's in that gap. Like when bad things happen to good people. Or salt in the wound when good things happen to bad people. See, we expect bad things to happen to bad people and good things to happen for good people. And when it doesn't work out that way, the gap starts. And we start asking, why, God, what's up here? Or when things around the world happen that seem unfair or cruel. How many lives just got burned in the fire? Why'd that happen? And if we're not careful, we'll forget that we live in a fallen world where the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. We'll try to blame everything on God. God, where were you? Why didn't you put the fire out immediately? Why didn't you save all these lives? Why do children get kidnapped and put into trafficking? Why are people starving around the world where many of us had 5 or 6 meals yesterday, right? So we have expectations that aren't getting met. And we create the biography of how everything should work. We even create a biography for God. In fact, we impose some of our human thoughts onto God, and it sets us up to make or to have false expectations or unreal expectations. And then we want to blame God when they don't come true, right? Let me ask you a personal question. What's the gap in your life that has allowed doubt to come in and mess with you? What expectations have you had or have that aren't being realized yet? I want you to think about that. I think most of us would agree that it's in that gap where doubts come in and we're asking the why questions. And we would say it's had a negative impact on our ability to believe or to trust in people or God, even ourselves, other people. Would you agree? If you've ever experienced this gap, and I know we all have, but especially when you're in the gap, it's hard to believe the right way for the right things. Here's another truth about doubt, and I hope you write this down if you're taking notes. Doubt is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. I'll get to that in a minute. It's not a bad thing. It's normal. It's normal. If you're taking notes, it's normal that I'm having these doubts right now. It's not bad. Here's something else you can write down. Doubt is not the absence of faith. And faith is not the absence of doubt. Somebody said that one time, and we've believed it. And it messes with us every time we have doubts. In fact, I'm going to go as far as to say you can't have faith without having doubts along the way. Who in here had doubts about God before you came to God and received His forgiveness? Yeah, I did. I was a big skeptic until God showed Himself real to me and touched me in a real way. It was no longer a doubt. But I had doubts, and I've had doubts since. And I have some doubts right now. And so I'm sharing this with you because I'm preaching to myself. You know, the last few days I've been preaching to myself about the doubts I have, and I'm thinking, I think this might apply to other people who have doubts. There's no such thing as a doubt-free faith. Look at Matthew chapter 11. We see this in one example here. A question was asked Jesus. Here's the question, Matthew 11, verse 3. Are you the one who is to come, or should we, what's that word? There it is. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Why would they expect something different? Well, because they weren't sure the Messiah had come yet. They have questions. They're wondering. They've heard some things. They haven't experienced them yet. And the reason I share this passage about this question is not because of the question itself, but because of who asked it. It wouldn't have been a big deal if Nicodemus would have asked that question, I don't think. He was still searching for faith. Or the woman at the well, she was still searching for faith. Or Peter, I mean, Peter always was saying stupid things. Like we do sometimes. What bugs me, and maybe bugs you, about this verse is that it came from John. Not the Apostle John, but John the Baptist. The cousin of Jesus. The one who pointed him out as the Messiah, and just a year later came to a place where he began to doubt. Are you really the one? And like most of us, John had a gap. We see it in Scripture in chapter 1. His gap came between chapter 1 and chapter 11. In chapter 1, John the Baptist is telling everyone, this is the one. In chapter 11, he's asking the question, are you really the one? He's now asking the question that he was answering just a year ago. John, the great one, who pointed out the great one, is now wondering, are you really the one? And it was in between those two chapters or those two seasons of his life when he was in prison and he hadn't experienced yet what he was expecting to, and doubt crept in. Now, he had been hearing about the good things that Jesus was doing. He just hadn't been experiencing the thing. We come to church every week and hear about all the good things, but then we go home thinking, but I haven't experienced those. I'm not experiencing those. You see how it happens? It happens to everybody. It happened to John. Listen to what Jesus tells John. Verse 4. Now, he wasn't talking directly to John, and John did not ask Jesus that question directly, right? John's in prison. Jesus isn't. I think he's in another town somewhere. And so John sends word to Jesus asking, John wants to know, are you the one? And then Jesus sends word back through John's acquaintances. He goes, go and tell John. Go back and report to John. Verse 4, what you hear and see. Here's what they had seen and heard when they hung out with Jesus for a few days. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Go tell John that. See, John would recognize those words because those are the words of Isaiah, the one who promised the Messiah would come. In other words, John, I want you to know that I'm doing what I came to do, so don't lose faith. In fact, praise God that his name is being glorified, even though you may not be seeing it with your own eyes. But I read that passage a few times. I'm putting myself in John's shoes, trying to find comfort in what Jesus told him. Because there's another part of Isaiah that says, and he's going to set the captives free. Jesus, you didn't mention that. That's really what I'm expecting. But you didn't talk about it. Now, I don't know if that was intentional. It was just an observation. He's in prison. It would have been really wonderful had Jesus said, oh, John, I'm coming for you. Give me some time. I'll be there. I'm going to let you out. But he didn't. Anybody relate to John? Oh, I hear everything else that's going on around me. That's great, but I got a need here. And I'm really expecting you to meet that need, and it ain't happening yet. In fact, I want to give you that one three-letter word to add to your vocabulary as you're going through doubts, the word yet. The word yet, right? Instead of saying, he hadn't healed me, just add the word yet. He hadn't healed me yet, but I'm believing he will. Like John, when you experience something you weren't expecting, it's easy to start thinking or believing things that aren't true and come to the conclusion that he's not with you or for you, or he's not going to do what you need him to do. Here's another question I want to ask you. What are you believing about your situation that may not be true? Oh, you think it is. Well, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What are you believing about your situation that may not be true? And then Jesus says something to John that we all need to hear. John needed to hear it. We need to hear it. Verse 6, Jesus kind of wraps up that whole thought, knowing that John's dealing with doubt, and he says, blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me. Well, when do we stumble? We stumble in the gap of doubt and fear. I could have preached a similar message. I may do something next week with fear. We all deal with fears. I'll say it again. Doubt's not a bad thing by itself, but what we do with it is what matters. It could either be a stumbling block to keep us away from God, to keep us going closer to God, or it could be a stepping stone. You know what a stumbling block is, don't you? It's a block. It's something that comes in your path, right? Maybe last year you didn't have a stumbling block, but something happened recently and you've got this stumbling block in your way. This is the journey you're on. And somehow, some way, this stumbling block came into your life, a stumbling block called doubt, where your expectations weren't met by your experiences, and you start asking the why question. And who would agree that when you have doubt and you start questioning things about your faith or about God or whatever, about your marriage, about your job, about your money, whatever it is, it's like a big block. And it's like, I was doing just fine till this block got in my way. And this block is blocking me from getting to where I want to get. This block right here. You've been praying for healing and hadn't come yet, and it's just blocks right here. And I said it a while ago, we can let this block be a stumbling block, or we can let it be a stepping stone. Now, this is a hollow box. I will fall right through it. But you know what? I can get over it. I can move through it. I'll tell you how in just a minute. But who would agree that you have a block in front of you right now and you have a choice? You can stay stuck in it, or you can figure out a way with God's help to move through it. Now go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Give you a little insight. We're going to be looking at chapter 28, but in chapter 27, Jesus had fulfilled his purpose. He was crucified and buried. In chapter 28, we read about his resurrection, the Easter story. But according to the New Testament scriptures that you read in your Bible, there were 13 post-resurrection personal appearances that Jesus made with people that were alive that had heard or seen his death. 13. And if you were to sum up the number, I think the Bible references as over 500 people, over 500 living people either heard about or witnessed Jesus' death. You know, you can go back and reread that story and not pick up on that point. I mean, I'd have more doubts if Jesus had risen from the dead and just shot straight to heaven and no one ever saw him again. I'd have more wonder. But I take great comfort in knowing that Jesus didn't do that. He didn't exit too quickly. He stayed here for 40 days and showed himself to so many people. There were so many eyewitnesses to his resurrection that even though I didn't see it, there's enough evidence to prove somebody did, a lot of people did. And so that's no longer a gap for me and my faith. But there's other things that are. So we pick up in verse 16. Remember, over 500 people saw him, including the disciples. Watch this. The same chapter in the resurrection. Go to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, there was one missing. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, when they saw him with their own eyes, they worshiped him. But some what? What? You saw him with your own eyes? But some doubted. Now, it doesn't say who doubted. I have an idea of one that doubted because he got the nickname. You want to say it with me? Thomas, doubting Thomas. Now, before I get to Thomas, I want to say something that's going to sound funny, but it's kind of encouraging to know that these disciples who walked and talked with Jesus when they saw him, they still doubted. I don't feel so bad when I have doubts. I mean, they saw some things and still doubted. I'm still doubting things I haven't seen yet. There's times where I feel so close to God, but then something happens suddenly and doubt comes in. It's now in my path. There's times when God seems so real, and if somebody were to tell me God wasn't real, I'd say, your mama's not real. But then there's other times where I'm wondering, God, where are you? I've been praying for this. It hadn't happened. Will it ever happen? And here's the problem. You can't talk about it in church because all the A-plus gold star Christians will judge you in the comment section. Not to mention the fact we're already struggling with a little bit of guilt, maybe a little bit of shame for having doubts. There's something our spirit tells us we shouldn't, but our soul, that's another story. We get caught up in that battle between our spirit and our soul, our mind, right? That's where the battlefield is, up in our mind. Our noodle gets messed with. We know we shouldn't have doubts, but we do. And if you feel like, well, you can't, especially at church, you can't talk about doubts. They'll look at you like, you know, you're not even saved. And I believe that's a ploy of the enemy. In fact, I think it's the church where it should be the safest place, if not your home, should be the safest place to talk about your doubts. Because they don't just disappear. Have you noticed? I wonder how many other people come and go to church thinking the same things, feeling the same ways, because they have doubts or questions about their doubts or about their faith, but they don't feel like church is a safe place to share those. Because they'll get those funny looks. You don't believe? You know, it's interesting that there was a disciple at the Last Supper who said, "Not me, Lord, I will never not believe." And what, two or three days later, if not the next day, he had denied Jesus three times. And he was in the inner circle. And so here's the problem with what I'm mentioning before I talk about how do we use it as a stepping stone. It's a stumbling block. It can be a stumbling block. And how we deal with doubt can be a stumbling block. Here's the problem. If you believe that the proof of your faith is based on the idea that you should never doubt, anybody ever heard that before? You shouldn't doubt. Then as soon as you do, guess what? Your faith falls completely apart. And so I want to set the record straight. I want to say it again. Doubt is not a bad thing. It's a normal thing. I'm going to even suggest it's a good thing. Because if you're able to work through your doubt and get on the other side of it, it draws you closer to God. It makes your faith stronger, not weaker. And so I want Generations Church to be a safe place for anybody that's already in it and those who will come that have questions and doubts about their faith or about God or about whatever. I want this to be a safe place where people can come. And if you're that gold star A-plus Christian that wants to convince people you don't have doubted, I don't think this is the right church for you. So get honest. Get honest with yourself and with God and just know, guess what? We all have doubts. We don't like them. We wish we didn't, but we do. And we need to know that God is a safe place to go to with our doubts, that God's church is a safe place to go to, that the people in God's church are safe people. As your pastor, you can call me anytime about anything. I've had conversations all the time. Some of you are married to people that aren't in church because of their doubts. I've talked to them too. And I hope they're listening online today. Sometimes they do that. They kind of go under the radar. They go incognito because they know in their own spirit, it ain't right. But so if you're listening to me, what do we do with that? Well, we can let it be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. So dealing with doubts, number one, embrace your doubts. Embrace them. Don't ignore them. Embrace them. Talk about them. Talk to them with God. Talk to them with other people who are believers, people who have your spiritual growth as a priority to them. Right? When I see a brother or sister doubting, I want to help them. I don't want to kick them to the curb. I don't want to roll my eyes. I want to help them. And here's what I do. Hey, guess what? Join the club. Welcome to the club. You're not the only one. I have doubts. Let them know this is a safe place where we can have a conversation. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. The Lord said that. The Lord God said that in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah. You know who he told that to? Israel. Israel was losing their faith. They were walking away from God because of their negative circumstances. And God said, "Hey, whoa. Let's talk about it. If it's good for them, I think it's good for us. Let's talk about our problem here." You know, doubt's normal. But, here's the but, it should be worked through. When I say embrace, I'm not saying hang on to it and stay stuck with it. When I use the word embrace, I'm talking about let's talk about it. Let's not let it be the elephant in the room anymore. Let's sit down and start asking questions and having conversations about our doubts so that, the purpose is so that we can move forward and move through. Listen to David's prayer, Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Some of us are in a valley of doubt right now. David says, "I will fear no evil, for you," talking to God, "for you, God, are with me." I'm in a valley, but God, I know you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The reason some of us don't have comfort in our valley is because we've forgotten, or maybe we're trying to dispel the fact that God is still with us in our valley. He's not just with us on the mountaintops. The last time I checked, God is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere. So listen, how can he be everywhere and not be with you? Think about it. That's one of the lies that we need to settle. Well, I just don't feel like God is hearing me. I don't feel like he's with me. I don't feel like he cares. Okay, those are lies. I hear what you're saying. But let's shine a light on the lie. This is our John 10:10 ministry process. Let's shine a light on the lie and let's bring truth to the table. That can't be true. God has not left you because he's omnipresent. Now, some of us want him to leave us when we're doing something wrong. But he's still there watching everything we do and think and say. And here's what I've discovered about doubt. It usually comes in the dark times, in the darkness, in the valleys in our life. And it's in those times where our mind begins to believe things that we used to not believe. You notice that? Like John the Baptist, I sometimes doubt things that just a year or two ago I could swear to you it was true. But now I'm in a situation I'm doubting. It's because when we get in this valley called doubt, we start, and here's what we usually, withdraw from God. We don't engage. And we give the enemy room to start whispering lies to our head that contradict the truth of God, that don't line up with the truth of God. And we start believing the lie over God's truth that we just believed a year ago. And we forget the things that God showed us years ago that we had no problem believing then before we got into this valley. Notice David said he was walking through the valley. He wasn't going to stay there. He wasn't going to die there. The best thing you can do when you're in the valley of doubt is keep moving through it. And I can't tell you how long that's going to be. It could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years, but don't stop in the valley of doubt. Do not let doubt be your dead end. You got to figure out a way to keep moving. And it comes different ways for different people in different circumstances. I don't have time to go to all those examples. I'm just saying, the general rule is, I can't stop. I can't stop believing, especially the things I used to believe. And now a lie is trying to talk me out of those things and trip me up. And notice David recognized that God was with him. Right? When doubt creeps in, that's the first thing we start wondering. I wonder if God's still with me. Is he abandoning me? It feels like it. Is he ignoring me? It feels like it. Does he care? Doesn't feel like he does. And then we begin to question, I wonder if what I've believed all these years was really true. Oh, the devil's having a heyday when we get to that spot. He's thinking, I have a chance to unwind their faith they've had for 20, 30, 40 years. Let me ask you this question. Ask yourself this question. What did you believe before you got in the valley? Would you figure out a way to get back there? That's what my wife tells me on a regular basis now that I'm in this valley. Bobby, where'd you lose your peace? Go back there. I said, honey, easier said than done. She goes, I don't care. It's still the truth. And it is. It is. It is. It's a truth. It's a marker that you can put in your ground. Go back to the truth you had before you got in the valley about this situation. What I believed before I got in the valley is that anything is possible with God. I believe that God is with me, that he's for me, that there's nothing that I could do that would cause him to stop loving me or be with me. And then I have to ask myself, so what's changed? The enemy's come in and planted some lies in my head to try to trip me up. And I have to recognize that, and I have to fight in those ways, fight in those terms. It's a spiritual fight. So two keys, I'm watching the time here. Two keys getting through the valley is to stay in community. Stay in community. Listen, if you're watching online and you're battling doubts, and you can, I would say come and get around other people that can help you. Generations Church is going to be a safe place for you to come and talk about it. We need to get in community with others. We need to stay in community with God and his word. We need to keep praying. We need to keep talking. It was interesting a while ago. It says some of the disciples doubted. You remember that? One of those disciples was Thomas. And it's interesting that when you go back and read that verse, we read that Thomas was not with them. He was not in community at that time. So here's point number two. What do? Well, evaluate your doubts. Embrace them. Let's talk about them. Let's don't ignore them, but then let's evaluate. Why do we have these doubts? How did they come in? Right? What am I doubting? Here's some good questions. What am I doubting? Why am I doubting it? Who am I doubting in it? And get answers to those questions. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I could also say for the doubts that I have. Be willing to talk about it. And ask questions about why you have these doubts. It goes on to say, but do it with gentleness and respect. Church, listen, we got to be gentle and respectful when people come with their doubts. Because they're already feeling inferior. Should I even bring it up? I wonder what you're going to think about me if I do. Just be gentle with them. Be respectful. Let them know, hey, I've had doubts before. You're not in this by yourself. But let's pray about them. Let's go to God. Why don't you come and hang out in Bible study? That's not going to immediately kick your doubts out, but it'll help you keep walking through the valley until something changes. And then as you evaluate it, find the lie that you believed that's feeding that doubt, and then change your mind. Choose to find the truth that's going to counterpunch the lie and begin to confess that truth, whether you feel like it or not. Whether you feel like it's true or not, your feelings will follow. But just start confessing God's word. Well, what if God's word isn't true? Well, then you're in deep doo-doo. Listen, Jesus is our only hope in life and in the afterlife. You can't throw that one out, or I don't know what to tell you. I go back that there is a God, and God had a plan for his creation, and his plan was revealed to us verbally at first, and then it was written, and it's his written word that we have today that helps us understand this thing called life and what's beyond this life that we know. This life right now that we can touch and feel and see and hear. What's after that? God's word's the only source of hope we have. You can't throw that one out. That's like being out at sea and pulling the plug on your ship. You pull the plug on that ship, you have no hope. So keep seeking God and others for answers to your questions until you get some kind of peace or joy. Don't ignore your feelings, but don't give in to them. Don't stay in a pity position. Talk about it. Say, I've got these doubts. I'm wrestling with it, but you know what? I'm going to kick it in the mouth. I'm going to kick the devil in the mouth, and I'm moving forward. I'm not going to die in the desert. I'm not going to stay stuck in the valley. It's not going to be a dead end for me. It's just something I'm going through right now, and I don't agree with it. I don't like it. I didn't order it. But I'm believing that my faith is going to be stronger when I get through it. That's what I'm hanging my hat on. How about you? Parents, just a quick word to you real quick. Parents, you raised your kids in church. You stood on that verse that says, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And you're going, that ain't my reality. And I'm wondering, is it me or my kids, or is it, well, is the Bible not really true? Listen, they're doubting their faith. It's not a time to panic. It's a time to process. You need to help your kids do what you heard me preach to you. You got to embrace the doubts. Help them embrace their doubts. Encourage them to talk about it. Honey, what is it you don't believe? And sometimes it's in the help to say, you know what? I'm with you on that one. I have a hard time believing that one too. You're not the only one. But there's enough we can believe right? There are some things that God has done in your life that have been good. So you can't discredit all of that. But let them ask questions. And then try to help them find out there's a lie behind what you're thinking or believing right now. We need to help them identify that, because here's what the truth is. Help them process through. Help them use their doubt as a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Go back to Thomas. Doubting Thomas. In the book of John, chapter 20. I love this. Now, this is the NIV version. In your Bibles, depending on the version, it uses different nicknames. In I think the New King James, it says, "Now Thomas, also called the twin," but the Greek name for that was Didymus. Didymus. I'm thinking Thomas was also Didymus, right? Today we might say T. Diddy. Maybe his friends called him T. Diddy. Listen. T. Diddy had some doubts here. Watch this. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples saw him and touched him and heard him and came back and said, 'We have seen the Lord, T. Diddy, we've seen the Lord.' But T. Diddy did what we do. He said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I ain't going to believe it.'" I got doubts. Now, before we pile on T. Diddy, we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? Huh? A miracle happens, somebody tells you about it, and what do we say? "I'm not going to believe it until I..." Say it? "Until I see it with my own eyes." That's what Thomas just said. And he gets a bad rap for it, because now he's nicknamed Doubting Thomas. I want to give a little dignity to his doubts. I want to give some dignity to your doubts. We're going to have them. In fact, I appreciate Thomas's honesty here. He's admitting to his friends, "I got doubts. And I hear what you're saying. But I want to see it with my own eyes. I want some physical proof. I'm not just putting my faith in something that's artificial. I saw him die. I haven't seen him since. I just want to see him." There's nothing wrong with that. He's dealing with reality. If you keep reading verse 26, it says a week later his disciples were in the house again, and watch this, Thomas was with them now. See, when he wasn't with them, it opened the door for doubt. Now he's with them. Watch this. "Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace out.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here.'" Now, how did Jesus know? Jesus wasn't in the conversation when he told his friends why he was doubting and what he needed to overcome his doubt. Could it be, church, don't miss this, could it be that because God was with him in spirit, he knew and heard every thought he had, just like he does with you? He doesn't have to physically appear to prove that he heard you. Here he did. It helped. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side." He said, "Stop doubting and believe." Two things here. Even in the midst of his doubts, listen, Thomas showed up. He didn't stay at home watching it online. He showed up. He got back into community. He got around other believers to help him walk through the valley he was in. Some of you today, you're struggling with doubts like I am, but man, I praise God, you showed up today. And God has something to tell you today to help you move through the valley that you're in and the valley you're going to be in later down the road. Don't beat yourself up for it. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Ask your questions. Be open and honest about it. Just don't stay stuck in it and be willing to apply some of the things you've heard today. And then look how Jesus responded to Thomas's doubts. He showed up and met Thomas exactly where he needed to be met and gave Thomas what he was needing, and that was physical proof. I can think back in my walk. There were things I didn't believe, and I would say things like, God, you're just going to have to show it. You're going to have to part the waters for me to believe. And God did. Didn't have to. He chose to because he knew I was hung up on some things, and he wanted to help me get through them, get over them, get around them. And then watch what Thomas does. Verse 28, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I mean, just a few hours earlier, he was doubting, and now he's shouting, praise God! And I know that's what's going to happen when we experience a touch from God about what we're doubting. Hadn't happened yet. Say it with me, yet. But when it does, we're going to shout. Just like we've always shouted when God shows up and does something good in our life. That hasn't stopped. Don't let the enemy tell you it has. You're in a valley. You're in a season of darkness. And it's filled with doubt. Life ain't over. Your purpose isn't over. Your season's not up. I don't know how your doubt came in. I don't know what the circumstances were. Sometimes we invite problems on ourselves. Others, they're imposed by others. Sometimes God allows it. But I know this, when I'm in a funk, when I'm in a valley of doubt, is not the time to stop and sit on a pity pot and think my life is over. I've had those thoughts. Anybody else have those thoughts? You got to shake it. You got to shake it. That's crazy thinking. You got to shake it. Get that off of me. And the way you do that is you keep showing up, you stay in community, and you stay in God's word and say, God, help me wrestle. I'm wrestling right now. Wrestle, wrestle. Let God help you wrestle through it. Who needed to hear this today? Good. 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 If you would bow your heads, I want to ask you, what do you hear God saying to you right now? Now, some of you, you're not in a valley of doubt. Praise God. Go home and celebrate that. But some of you are. And you're struggling with doubt right now because you're experiencing something you weren't expecting. You have questions. You need answers. You're in a valley. And hopefully you've heard God say to you, keep moving through it. Don't stop. Keep walking, keep talking, keep praying. Keep asking questions. Keep showing up until God touches you or touches your situation. Don't let doubt, like Thomas, don't let doubt be your dead end. Don't let it be a stumbling block. Let it be a stepping stone. And I pray that your stepping stone, called doubt, is going to draw you closer to God. Father, we thank you for your truth today. I pray your Holy Spirit would just speak to us. Right now, in this moment of solitude, this moment of contemplation, we're thinking about what we've heard in the song we're getting ready to worship you with on our drive home this afternoon when we take a nap or go to bed tonight. You know, our wheels are turning. I pray that we would remember what we used to believe before we got into the funk. I pray that we will remember those things and not believe new lies. And if we do, Lord, I know you're going to take us through this valley and get us on the other side. We say thank you for that. We believe you've not left us. You've not abandoned us. You still love us. You want good things for us. But would you help us battle the fight that we're in right now with doubt? We're having a bout with doubt. Would you help us to counterpunch and jab and keep moving until we have a victory? In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you're here today, listen, before we dismiss, if you're here today and you're doubting your salvation, if you're doubting whether God really can save you, if you're doubting who Jesus is, listen, there was enough physical proof. proof that proved he's the Son of God. And we're going to have to exercise a little bit of faith to believe that, even though we weren't there. And I want to encourage you today to move through. Sometimes, listen, sometimes you just take what they call a leap of faith. There's something that's been in your way for giving your life to Christ, and it could be a number of things. And you can either let it stay there and block you from good things from God, or just a leap. That wasn't a leap, was it? Take a leap. Just take a leap. Here's the deal. You want to get on the other side of that because it's messing with you. You don't want it to keep you out of heaven. Just take a leap of faith and trust God, even though you don't understand everything. And just see if he might show you some convincing proof that you made the right decision. Amen. Bow your heads one more time. If that's you today and you need to take a leap of faith, and you need to believe where you've not believed, I want you to raise your hand. In fact, I want you to stand up. Woo! I want you to stand up. I want you to take a leap out of your chair. If you go back and remember John, he leaped in Elizabeth's womb when Jesus' name was mentioned. Let's jump like John did. Let's jump. Let's jump out of our chairs and believe. Just believe. Don't let doubt be a stumbling block. Believe. In spite of your doubts, believe anyway. Father, we thank you for those that are wanting to trust you again or trust you for the first time. Lord, I pray that as they open their hearts and ask you to forgive them for all their sins and to welcome them into your family of believers, the church, I pray that you would, like you did with Thomas, that you would show yourself real to them in a way that they could understand and accept and receive it and to be sure. But today they're taking a step of faith to come and trust you that you are who you said you are and you can do what you said you can do. You've done it for many already in this church, and you're wanting, you died to do it for more people. I pray that they would trust you today. Just say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord, with my life. I trust you, Lord, with my circumstances. I don't understand it all. I have my doubts, but I'm still going to trust you as I go through this valley. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.